what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Moving Birds, a.k.a. the Tiki 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 Room.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Never Been Stepped On, a.k.a. New Floors.
I'm Sinbad.
Yeah, and this is a waste of time, but it's the real.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like the blackness was sucked out of me. I got you the black void, man.
So we sold this podcast to the Sideshow Network under the auspices of it being a dinner party style conversation, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
So we're from New York. We're going to have people over our Upper West Side apartment.
They put out a press release, and they said that it was actually going to be a dinner party.
Oh.
Yeah, and so we're like, oh, no. Like, we need to cook dinner for people.
We can have dinner,
Yeah. So,
and a party.
Yeah. I know. So we're originally from New York. We're here out in L.A. We don't have a kitchen here, so we apologize for no food at this point.
But next time you're in New York, we will happily cook for you.
Yeah. All right, man. You have to come through.
I can come to the dinner stop bar.
Yes. Hell yeah. Yeah, you absolutely do.
Before the dinner been stepped on and the tiki-tiki.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can get all that, man.
So we switch our AKs up every time,
okay,
right?
Okay, man.
We worked for MTV for a couple years doing these, like, wild interviews where we would go around and do, like, absurdist sort of questions and, like, intros and the whole thing. And we interviewed everyone from, like,
Stevie Wonder to, I don't know, Vinny from Jersey Shore.
Okay.
Right? And when we interviewed Stevie, it was down at the Austin City Limits Music Festival, right?
Oh, cool, man.
And we were the only ones who got an interview with him. It was like going through presidential security. It was just nuts, right?
I know.
And Stevie's just a legend.
Oh, he's a cool man. He's the coolest cat, bro.
Yeah. And so one of his assistants was like, hey, can I just look over the questions? And we're like, sure. And Jeff and I decided not to do
the gunshots.
Gunshots, AKA, none of that.
No.
A lot of sensory overload for Stevie.
He might have, knowing Stevie, he might have came back at you harder.
But you know what? Great sense of humor.
I know. He's funny. Yeah. No, Stevie's funny.
Amazing.
He might have came at you harder, man.
Yeah, I know.
You have a good resume of meeting, famous, great people.
Like, oh, yeah, man. It's funny. I became a comedian because, like, all these cats, it's funny, it went from being heroes to my friends. And I got a chance to work with them and do music and comedy with them. So it's cool, man.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Like, and have you ever been disappointed about meeting someone like who wasn't really up to snuff? Like,
there's a couple people, man.
Yeah.
And I found out when I was young, I didn't understand it. As I got older, I said, okay, I got it. I understand where they were.
Yeah.
Because they were still idols to me, and their careers might have taken a turn, and they were dealing with that other side where they couldn't get work, and they were living off their past.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But for me, they were still, like, larger than life.
Yeah.
And then I met some jerks, too. Then as I got to be more of an entertainer and bigger in my thing, I could tell them they were jerks.
Yeah.
That was the cool part. When you got to be big enough to tell a dude, like, no, look, man, I don't think I want to deal with you.
Yeah.
And you used to be my hero, but I like to punch you in your face.
Right.
You know, so that's how it was.
How was you roasted Muhammad Ali?
Yeah.
How was that?
I think when I said his daughters were fine, it kind of freaked him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually jumped up on me.
I think that, like, Muhammad Ali it's safe to say, is not a jerk.
Oh,
he's not one of those guys.
Dude, you know what? You got to remember this. When people talk about Floyd Mayweather, remember, people hated Ali like they hated him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a part of white America, even some of black America, when he became a Muslim, they hated it. But this cat was larger. Dude, this cat was larger than life. This dude, there is no one like him.
Yeah.
There'll never be anyone else like him.
No.
To be that kind of person, but know what's amazing about Muhammad Ali?
What's that?
He loves people. There's never been a heavyweight or a boxer. He would see people and walk into a crowd of people. He lived in Berrien Springs. I'm from Benton Harbor, Michigan. That's
Where on the hand is that?
Oh, yeah. Man. Oh, I'm on the west side.
Okay.
I'm on the west side. So what happens is we'd be at Baskin Robbins, and he would get out of his car and come into Baskin Robbins where all of us were at.
Really?
And that's when he walked to me. He did the boxing thing with me, man.
Really?
I said, I think I can take you. And he snatched my ice cream from me. And he just would sit there. And it was real. It wasn't fake. When they say he was a people's champion, he was.
Yeah. So have you ever walked around with, like, security with you? Have you needed that? Have you, like...
You know, once I might have security when I had concerts. That was more for, like, I had my kids with me. People, I haven't had a security person with me in, God, man.
Long time.
I mean, comics weren't getting beat up. It became a hip thing when comics had security.
Yeah.
You need maybe at a concert, you're doing a concert, people getting paid. We got paid in cash.
Yeah.
Back in the day. You walking with cash.
Paper
on
bags,
so you had to put money on somebody else and some money tape it to somebody else. If they robbed you, you're the only one that didn't have money.
Man.
But I never had to have I used to try to hide from my security.
Really?
The game was to sneak out on them.
You're like the president. Like,
Chuck, man, my boy Chuck White. Chuck is a beast, man. Chuck did Paddle Bill, everybody. I would, like, say, hey, man, I'm going to go to bed. And he'd be in his room, and I would sneak to the club. But he always had a sixth sense. I look up, And then he'd be at the club, and I didn't tell what club I was going to. I said, dude, no, I'm just hanging out. I know, I'm just hanging out with you. Look, man, I said, don't be my security guy. Let's just hang out. All right. He have his tie, he'd be sitting down in a suit. I said, no, really, not my security day. We're just hanging out. He goes, okay, we're just hanging out. I said, that's not hangout mode, man. You're in security mode. Yeah. But maybe that's what made him such the cool cat he was.
Yeah.
And he's my friend, man.
Chuck?
Chuck White.
Chuck sounds like a good security guy.
Man. Yeah.
Always wore suits, even in Aruba, even in the islands. Never sweat.
Who's a better dancer, you or Chuck?
Me, I'm always better.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I'm better, man. I'm better.
When you were going out to the clubs, what was the music that like you just like needed to hear to sort of?
Oh,
like...
dude, that was like, you know, still funk was that. Remember when I came to Comic, it was like mid 80s, right. So it was going into the rap thing, it was going into the new jack swing.
Yep.
So it was like,
so anything funk Teddy Riley. Yeah.
Teddy Riley, even Cameo was still happening. No, we was having the last bit.
Cameo.
You know, Roger and Zap and all that stuff.
Yep.
But you had to have that, you know, Chubb Rock, man, all that stuff. Egg B, Rakim.
Yeah.
All that stuff, man.
Was there music that you would walk into?
I always used the music, but I changed because I got ADD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'd have a theme song. No. So before the show, I would change my theme song like 12 times. But if you look at my first stand-up, I was the first comic to have dancers and music.
Yeah.
We did Fight. We did I Got the Power.
Yeah.
We did that. We danced to that.
Oh, my God. What a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. It was,
you know?
Dude, 80s.
Yeah.
90s was the last period.
Well, you knew.
Black Hollywood, too. Black Hollywood was like, man, Robert Townsend. It was happening. It was happening. A lot of shows were happening.
Nostalgia works in 20-year cycles. And so, like, 20 years ago is now very hip right now.
Yeah.
So, and that's like slang, that's dress, that's music. Everything is sort of like coming back
like
around
old
again.
School. Now my old school is old school.
No, but it influences all the groups that are around right now.
Well,
like,
that's nothing new, dude.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Stop. Next 20 years from here,
yeah,
they're gonna be like, let's go back 40.
Yeah.
Because they can't take anything from now. Because now it's already taken from this. So I said, this is the period I call the abyss.
Yeah.
Did they quit being creative? Did they quit? Or were we just so funky? Was the 60s and 70s just so damn funky? Because think about it. No video games, nowhere to play, playing in the band, playing in the garage. Your dreams were so stupid because you didn't know how to make them come true. So your dreams were big as hell. Man, I'm going to get a house with a swimming pool, and we're going to swim inside and outside. I'm going to swim from inside my house to outside my house. Mm-hmm. That's how insane it was.
That's what the money team is doing right now. Floyd Mayweather has an indoor pool and an outdoor pool.
Yeah, because he's still I'm from Michigan like him.
Yeah.
We're still from like that, man, that's where we came from, Michigan, because we didn't know how we're going to get to it. So it's this, I don't know where this is going to be. When I'm like 80, it's going to be fun to go back.
Yeah,
it stopped when I was 60.
See, I feel like the cycles are actually like speeding up like super quick. I feel like like it's now like 2001 or like, you know, like 2010 almost.
But really, there was nothing 2000 hip. So remember, it's not 2001 because what was hip in 2000? Think about it. What was hip in 2001?
Mandy Moore.
Thank you. Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
It's not that income, dude.
Jessica Simpson's like a billionaire now.
Yeah, because she sold cheap shoes and stuff.
Nah, and hair
extensions. But she got smart.
Yeah.
And she sold it to regular people instead of saying, this is my high quality line.
Yep.
And look at me, I got fat like y'all.
Yo, so did you... What brands like reached out to you at your like heyday that you were like?
Oh man, I did Polaroid commercials. I did Cherry Coke commercials. I did McRibs.
Yeah,
from McDonald's.
Yeah.
But know what it was? Cross Colors, dude.
Oh my god,
Cross Color jeans and Carl
Canine,
bro.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Come on, man.
Which now are we're back talking. In style.
They
which
are
I still
in
have
style.
In my closet, which I hung onto them. I got a purple pair, a red pair, and a gold pair.
Yo, I was when we were coming down here. I was like, we have to ask about your closet. I mean, is it just everything great that we imagined from the 90s?
Dude, you know what? And I moved back in. My wife and I got back together like 12 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they threw stuff away on me behind my back.
No.
My first Mac 512, 128K Mac.
Yeah.
My Newton. All these things I kept.
Your Newton.
These things I kept. The SE30. I was a tech freak. And
yeah.
I had my leather outfits, my purple and black.
Oh, my God.
My brown and light brown.
Gone?
Gone. They tossed my stuff.
Stop,
man.
No.
Your earring collection.
You know, people don't realize, when I get set earrings, those are the ones. I don't carry 3, 4, 5. Those are the ones I wear.
For real?
So I was wearing the cross and the hoops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those were, I used to give them away though. I used to, I bought the diamond ones. It's like, I ain't giving this away. But there was a place in St. Louis that I found, and I don't know why, they had the right crosses and the right hoops, and I would buy 100 from them. Because people asked me for my, I would be so cool, can I have it? And I would take it off and give it to people.
You were their best customer.
Yeah.
I'm like a rock star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you literally
then
were.
Then I got the diamond one. They said, can I have it? Oh, that ain't going to happen.
Like guitarist giveaway picks, and you're just giving away earrings.
I have a Cuban zirconian. And I used to throw these, and I used to throw my towels, my sweat towels. I used to always have a bunch of these. I was throwing all these, but now they don't make these anymore. So I got five left.
Five.
Five.
You're not throwing those away.
No. This feels like a Seinfeld thing. Like, you know how Lane, like, held on to, you know, like, today's sponges or whatever?
Yeah.
You have your towels.
My sweat towels.
That's it. Yes. But so you have Carl Kanai in the closet a little bit. You have cross colors.
Yes.
Do you ever break them out?
We threw a 90s party. My daughter, my birthday is November 10th. My daughter's November 11th.
Yeah.
You know, and she has on podcast, Keeping the PC Edge.
Yeah.
I throw it out there, man. So what happens is we had a party. I had a one-piece jumpsuit, jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Kangol hat. I went online, got some big dookie chains.
Oh, my God.
And we all partied the 90s. Because like I said, it's 20. That is the new old school.
Yeah. It is. So you had a special that you shot at, it was the Paramount. Now it's a theater at Madison Square Garden, right? It was called Afros and Bell Bottoms.
Afros and Bell Bottoms.
And you walk in with like
this is 93.
This long the mink.
The Mac fur coat, baby.
You had that swag in your in your step. Where is that coat right now?
Somebody left that coat outside and it rained on the coat.
Who left it? Chuck?
No, not Chuck. No. Chuck would have had that coat. Chuck would have had that coat in a box and safe.
Yeah.
But we were moving and it got left outside. It said, it never rains in LA. It was one night it rained. And I tried to save it, but that fake fur, it was fake fur too. Fake fur jacked up, man.
Is it your fault for wearing it out in
you know what
on a night that it rained?
I had it, and you're in a hurry, and you're moving something, and I should have took care of it, but I said, oh, man, you know, it kept going, and fur was flying everywhere. I would take it everywhere with me. I said, man, why don't I just let this coat go?
Yeah.
And I let it go. I said, I'm going to regret that. I could have put that in at one of those restaurants, man.
Yeah.
You know, like the Hard Rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sinbad's pimp coat.
Yeah. Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? Both my brother Jeff and our brother Dan, we watch Celebrity Apprentice. Like, we hate watch Celebrity Apprentice. Like,
I hate being on it.
No, yeah, I know. No, but like, but you're the only person we've met that's been on it. And it's just, there's no rule. There's no rules. It's all made up.
No, it is. That's the thing about it is, man, you don't want Donald Trump to fire you. You ain't my boss.
Right.
The thing is, he wants people fighting. And I realize he wishes he was a celebrity.
Yes.
He's rich, but he wishes he was us. So his thing is to make celebrities look stupid. And they don't see what he's doing. Celebrities who have created, whether you like the celebrities or not, whether they're,
right.
See, there's no such thing as a B celebrity. If they were A, your time always comes and go.
Right.
You don't become a B. You're just not the A anymore.
Right.
B people never became A.
Okay.
See, a B or C artist was always who they were. But if a person was A, you can't become a B. It can be like, you know, they had a great run, now they're in a different phase.
Right.
Yeah. But you're not a B.
Right.
If you had talent, you didn't lose talent.
Right.
Right. Right.
It's just
correct.
The new A's came up.
Right.
That's how the circle of life works. But he couldn't wait till they would fight. And he does that fake thing. So what do you think, Sandy? What do you think? Well, she said this and that. And I wanted to say so bad, you need to fire whoever does your hair. And I knew they would cut it. He'll never make himself look bad.
Well,
how long was the boardroom session for you?
I made it two of them.
Yeah, you know, but sitting in that, like they edit it down to like probably like 5 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, but how long are you sitting in there? It's not much longer than that. There's a lot going on. They what they do is when you get fired, they edit it to make it look like you deserve to get fired.
Right.
You might have some good arguments. I had some great arguments.
I'm sure.
And they just, you can tell. It was normal because I'm always talking. I was like this. You just saw me reacting to him talking to me. I said, oh, you punk.
Yeah.
You punked out and edited like I'm like, yeah, you were talking to me and talking
right.
to me.
Right. Yeah.
Because I called him a liar. He said, well, this didn't happen. I said, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
He said, you say I'm a liar. I said, you lied. And everyone, whoo!
Yeah, listen.
So I'm not going out like a sucker.
Yeah. Right. You didn't call Mr. Trump.
No. He didn't call me by my name. He called me Sinbad. You're Donald.
Right,
I hate
when
people kiss his butt. You've seen entertainers?
Yeah.
Mr. Trump, I just want to say, I really appreciate why are you kissing his butt?
It's the worst.
I feel like I like the show because it feels like fan fiction to me.
Yes.
Like it feels like, okay, Joan Rivers and like, I don't know, Daryl Strawberry are going to open up a Kodak store or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we did. I did with Daryl Strawberry. I was with Daryl Strawberry. I was with Goldberg. I was with Blagojevich.
Oh my God.
He was so stupid going to that show, man.
He didn't know how to use a computer.
Stupid. He didn't know how to use anything, not a cell phone. I'm like, dude. I said, dude, you mean it. I never give a Daryl Strawberry to him. dude, you being indicted. You might want to just lay back. He was in such denial. His ego was so big. I said, oh, he's going to prison. He don't know how to lay. Like, when you're getting indicted, man, you stay home.
His hair was ridiculous, too, by the way. Yeah.
Dude, he always be in the mirror, in the windows, looking at himself.
Yeah, like you got fired, and then the next episode, Terrell Strawberry quit.
Yeah, because he called me. He says, you're gone. Ain't no fun. We're having fun.
But, like, did you know him in the, like, 80s, 90s?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you knew him at, like, you know, when he was playing for the Mets?
He was a beast.
Then when he was most fun.
He was a beast.
Living that life.
Well, so did you know him, like, while he was out here, too, playing for the Dodgers?
Yeah, you know, when we say no, we just... No, entertainers get that. There's knowing people who are like your boy.
Yeah.
And it's guys that, you know, you see them, and we got that kind of... That was more like that. Mm-hmm. We spent more time together on celebrity... We actually had a good time hanging out on Celebrity Apprentice and talking, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you go to do a challenge. How much time do they give you about to, like, figure out what you're doing?
Well, it starts right away.
Really?
They give you a challenge. Boom, it's on, right? And then everybody starts throwing each other on the bus. Like, once they know it's your challenge, well, do what you think you should do. I said... Oh, y'all, I see what this is. Y'all setting up for the cameras. I said, you setting it up for failure right now. Like, Simba, you think they'll get here in time? I said, I don't know. Maybe they will. Should I get that on camera, too?
Did you deal with the... How much did you deal with the children, too? Like...
Oh, you know, they just come in.
Don Jr. And...
Don Jr. We told John Jr. Daryl and I said, look, dude, why don't you get some suits that you like? Quit dressing like your dad. I knew you want to hang. You, Don Jr. You know how much sex you can get? Being Donald Trump Jr., he goes, yeah, and they pulled him away from us.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
I said, dude, why are you doing that? Live your life, man.
Yeah. What's that? And what's the old man?
George?
Yeah, George. Do you ever deal with George?
Season,
yeah,
right?
George, yeah, but you don't see George much. You didn't see George.
No, he just comes in at the end. He's like, Mr. Trump.
I think they should do this.
It's just amazing to think that they've gotten to this point in their lives, like, whether that's the Trump kids, whether it's Trump himself, whether it's George, like, whoever is there, it's crazy to think, and they take themselves so seriously.
But Noah's daughter's actually pretty cool.
What's who is?
The daughter, Trump's daughter.
Donald, I was
Ivanka. Ivanka's all right.
Yeah, Donald ain't true, no comedy. Donald ain't nowhere near cool.
No.
Wait, what makes Ivanka cool? Or, it is Ivanka, right?
Yeah, she's just cool. She just, you know, she's real. She's not pretentious.
Yeah.
I thought you meant, like, she listens to, like, rap or that she's...
I think she does. I think she
really?
Does. I
mean, that must anger her father so much.
Her father's so racist.
It wouldn't throw me off if she did, because she doesn't seem like the person that was like, oh, I can't listen to that.
So, have you run into Donald Trump since then?
I've been trying to find Junior.
Yeah.
I want to take Junior out.
No, you should.
Take him to Vegas.
He can take him to Vegas.
He can take the bill. This thing, if we took out, he can get the suite.
Yeah.
He can hook it up.
Oh, my God. Imagine you standing at the Trump.
Yeah. Man.
I'm with it.
Yeah.
All right, you are a tall individual. You used to play basketball.
Yep.
What was the last thing you bumped your head on?
In a helicopter. I was in Afghanistan. And we trying to get a helicopter, and I almost knocked myself out.
Oh, my God.
And then the guy said, man, you want me to bend down after I'm laying on the ground?
Yeah.
I said, man, that's real funny, dude. That's real funny. I might want to bend down as I'm down here.
By the way, one of the weirdest headlines that there is on, you search for Sinbad, like, on Google, one of the weirdest headlines you can find.
Is that people thought you were dead? Is that
what that's one.
They killed me twice.
That's
I was one of the early Wikipedia killers.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Now everybody knows it's fake. When somebody dies, you wait. But I was in that early people. Oh, my God.
Well, let's just confirm you're alive right now,
that's right?
Yeah,
alive.
Okay. You're
I'm
here.
Alive.
But the other headline was that you were with...
Oh, my God. That you used to work out with Steve Ducey.
No,
from
not that one.
Sorry, we did some good research.
I did.
From Fox and Friends in the morning.
When I was based in military in Wichita, Kansas. It's called Body by Schliebe. And I knew he was going to be exactly what he is right now.
Stop. I mean, that guy is just... Yes.
I knew he was going to be...
Friends with
exactly
Trump.
Exactly who he is right now.
Listen, a conversation with that guy must just be unbelievable.
Man, going on Fox is... I don't even know why we go on Fox. When I go into New York, they said, man, you're going to do Fox? I said, why do they keep doing this to themselves, bringing me here?
Right.
And it was funny. There was a one time in America, do you remember, that my boy... Geraldo was not really uncool. There was a time when he was, remember he was doing these little shows? There was a time when Geraldo was not an uncool dude.
Oh, he's
now he's
he
just
very...
totally like, dude, you're just a punk. He punked out.
He did, completely.
Did you see the Baltimore footage?
Oh yeah, man. No, the guy that cornered him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he tried to walk, and he said, "Are you smirking?"
Yeah.
Everybody said, "Is that a smirk?" Yeah. See, he didn't know. He did that little, you know, that smirk, be uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah, goes, yeah.
Are you smirking?
Right.
And the guy was really asking him legit. You know, what he could have done. He could have got points. Geraldo could say, "Hold on, man, get the camera, let's talk."
Yeah, yeah. No, 100%.
Geraldo could have earned points.
Yeah.
And the kid was just trying to do that.
Yeah.
He said, "Man, you come in here and you do this." And Geraldo said, "Okay, man, show me, talk to me."
Yeah.
He could have earned points.
But
he smirked and punked out.
He is a punk. He is a punk.
And at the time he went in his cell with Charles Manson. They cut the break and he got out.
Yeah.
He goes, "I'm going to be talking to Charles Manson. I'm going in the cell with Charles Manson." He went in the cell with Charles Manson. They went to break. 10 minutes later, he was outside the cell. I said, "I don't know what Charles did to him." But Charles must have freaked him out, man.
But, okay, finally, the headline that I'm talking about.
Oh.
You were in Serbia with Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
And there was a sniper incident. That was what the headline said.
The fake sniper. Yeah. The fake plane getting shot at.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It was. I'm sitting there. I'm listening. You know what's funny?
What's
By her being in Bosnia, she already had points.
Yes.
She didn't have to fabricate anything. She was in Bosnia.
Yeah.
Mm. This is the president's wife.
Yes.
In Bosnia.
Most important woman in the country.
We in Bosnia. And they're still, dude, the thing was still kind of shaky.
Yeah.
But, dude, we landed. We didn't get shot at. We landed. And then they found the footage with a little girl bringing her flowers.
Yeah.
But the thing was, there were like 50 reporters on the plane with us. So why did it take me saying it? And the only reason I said it was because they kept putting these stupid comics up. Oh, Hillary should have Sinbad run for vice president. He can wear his hammer pants. If they get shot at, they can jump out the airplane. His hammer pants will save him.
Yeah.
I said, one more hammer pants. Yeah. And this is over.
And then. They made more.
I called. And you know what's funny? The woman that took the report was not even the main reporter for Washington Post. She was a blogger. That's why everybody got pissed. She was a blogger. Because people kept calling me about, because I was over there with Sheryl Crow. Sheryl Crow didn't say nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
I was there with Sheryl Crow. And this blogger had called. And I was sitting with my wife. I said, "You see this stupid thing in the paper?" I said, I'm done. I called this blogger at 11 o'clock at night. I said, "Hi, this is Sinbad. What? Do you want it or not? How do I know it's Sinbad?" "You don't."
Mm.
"You got to go with faith or go without." Which is kind of stupid. It couldn't have been a fake Sinbad. So I told her everything.
Yeah.
Dude, 7 in the morning, I was getting a phone call. At 7 in the morning.
Really?
Man, Fox News wanted to interview me.
Steve Blitzer Ducey?
Yeah. Wolf Blitzer wanted. Everybody wanted to do something. I said, I didn't do this for fame. I did it to say what I had to say.
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
said, "You should got a talk show out of it. You could have got your own show." I said, but that would spoil the whole moment. The cool thing was to say it and let them discover it.
That's right.
Because what made me a little angry, because although I love the Clintons,
mm-hmm.
Hillary twice called me a liar.
Really?
She said, "Well, Sinbad, he's a comedian. You know, Sinbad, I don't know bullets. I don't know gunfire.
Right.
Mm. I don't know getting shot at." And then my man in charge of the army said, "Well, you know, Sinbad's a macho guy. He wouldn't admit he got shot at." And I called him. "Did you really say that?" So I went on news. I said, "I'm going to tell you right now, if we were getting shot at, I'd have jumped out. Yeah. I'd have left everybody. I'm not a hero."
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so you've been to a lot of war zones.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
Yeah.
So have you ever been in any danger in any of these places?
But you always, I was just, like I said, I just came out a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. I was in Afghanistan and Kuwait. And the thing is, these young cats, right outside the wall, man, we're in the forward operating bases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're kind of safe on the base, but yeah, they're lobbing stuff over.
Because
the first time I went was a couple years ago. And they said the spot I was standing at, the next day, they blew that spot up.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody accidentally got the right thing over. They said, "Sinbad, where you were standing at, they actually blew that spot up." So those cats are always in danger. Those bases, not as dangerous as going out the gate,
yeah.
but they're still in a dangerous spot.
So how do you feel flying in there then?
Well, you know, I don't want to be the first one to get shot down.
No.
You know, because you don't want to be like, "Oh, and Sinbad was." I don't want to be that guy. And everybody's happy. And, "Oh, he was a great person." No, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to get shot down. But I figure if everybody else is going, I'll go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If the soldiers are going, I mean, but I did tell them if I got captured, if, say, ICE or somebody grabbed me, I am going to tell everything. I'm not getting my head cut off on TV.
Right, now.
I'm going to sit there and say, "Hi, man, I'm sitting bad. I think America's wrong." And I'm just saying, I'm staying over here. I'm going to open a Dairy Queen. These are good people. Salim, what's up? I'd like to give a shout out.
I do like how, like, you will totally bow to ISIS, but you will not bow to Donald.
No, I will not bow. I will not bow to Donald. I would take him to ISIS, though. I would take ISIS. I know it's wrong to say this, but it's kind of right. But let me put it this way. Let's put it this way. All of us here.
Yeah.
If ISIS had come in this room and they said, "Where's Donald Trump? I'll kill you." Would you give up Donald
right
Trump?
Right there.
Yeah.
There
I would give completely. Down, listen, I would give Donald Trump up. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
I'm not down with ISIS.
Right.
But I'm down with them taking Donald Trump instead of me.
Have you been approached by other reality shows to be a part of them? Like, or competition shows? Like Survivor or
Dancing with the Stars
or any?
Yeah, they asked me, Dancing with the Stars. I said, "Do I have fake knees? I'm going to do Dancing with the Cripple Stars." I want an edge. I want to do Dancing with Stars with bad backs. Everybody has to get MRIs, you get x-rays. And if there's something wrong with you, we will compete in that way. But I'm not going against healthy people. That's stupid. I would do Survivor, and no one knows how to do Survivor right. I look at these people and they're crying and they're so hungry. I said, "Dude, it's not about winning Survivor. If you're trying to become famous, you got to be the most remembered Survivor.
Right. Yeah.
Remember the guy that was naked?
Sure.
I don't know if he won, but we remember him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You could get the girl with the crazy hat, got her own show. Remember the girl? It'd be on the show with Whoopi and him. She wore a little stupid hat.
This
a correspondent.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this, what you have to do is be remembered. So I would be the only person Survivor to gain weight because I eat everybody's food up. Everybody's trying to share. I'm like this, man. I ate it. Yeah, you eat it? I ate every damn thing. Don't leave nothing with me. Forget trying to figure who teams. Forget trying to figure out who turned the back.
Right.
Of me.
Yeah,
see, that's too much work trying to figure, he played the game smart. Mm-hmm. And people are like this, well, I got eliminated. But at least I'm a good person, you know, and maybe playing the game smart is being evil. Man, quit trying to be a good person. When you get there, I'm going to tell everybody, I hope you all die. And if I can help it, I will. I will put snakes in your bed. You got to make them fear you so much.
I will put snakes in your bed would be a great catchphrase.
I will put snakes in your bed. And know what they do? When you sit there and they vote you off, I ain't going no damn where. Be the first person. Y'all going to have to come get me and just run off in the woods. And they're like, he's in the woods. I said, I'm going to kill every last one of y'all. When they finally put you on the talk show, dude, you are a man. And you go like, I was playing. I'm not going to kill nobody. You know, I love it. I like Pete, all of them, all the guys on the show.
You know how they do on TV. They edit it. Yeah.
I want you to do Survivor so bad now.
Dude, I would be the worst. They'd be like, he's not even, I fought my team. Sorry. We lost. I fell off the board.
Have you been camping?
Yes. Growing up, I was a big camper.
Really?
He was one of the first black families going out with a camp. We'd go to the white campgrounds and they would all leave, or they wouldn't jump in the pool with us because we were black. Oh, dude, it was like my dad. I said, Dad, what's wrong? Well, these kids don't want to jump in because you're black. I said, I was military then, but cool. We'll swim all day.
By the way, we are Jews. We have not camped.
We don't camp.
Jews don't camp?
Jews don't camp. No. No.
Jews don't camp?
No. No, we're not about to, like, you know.
You're not outdoors people?
No. We're indoor boys. I don't know.
Well, I thought that, like, Jews not camping was, like, a different thing.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean,
but,
that,
like,
too, yeah.
But actually, you went to Woodstock 99.
Yeah, but, like, that was more like.
Yeah, but that's Woodstock light. That's not
Oh, no,
it's like fake Woodstock.
It was.
Unless you did some LSD, was in a mosh pit.
That's the one that, like, Woodstock burned down.
They gave them peace candles at the end, and people were just like, well, we're just going to burn everything. It's like, that's a bad idea.
That's funny. They give them candles?
Yeah.
Candle app.
Like, peace candles.
Candles.
This is before that, though. This is before, like, everyone had, like, apps on their phones and whatnot.
You don't give people candles that have been drinking.
It was crazy. It
and
was just
blow them
stupid.
Out and throw them away. We'll throw bags. We're going to have trash bags. You put your burnout. Dude, it ain't going to happen.
No, stupid.
That's why the Burning Man. I went to the Burning Man, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
When it was the Burning Man, I went because it was funny.
Yeah.
I went to the Burning Man, and you have to act like you're into it.
Yeah.
Because the Burning Man was a joke, but now Burning Man is coming to this event.
Oh.
But the Burning Man was just a bunch of people getting high, and they start. The legend of the Burning Man grew. And back then, man, there was no toilets. Now you got place. Man, I went to Burning Man.
How did you find out about it?
I heard about it because I was hanging out with nerds and tech nerds.
Yeah,
They said, you got to go to Burning Man. I said, I'm going. And I got there, man. And girls are dancing naked, and that was the best part. And I'm like this, man, it's all be free. And you take your clothes. Okay, cool. Can I take some pictures? And, you know, you just I was in the incense.
Now you have, like, Diddy going there.
Once Diddy goes, it is no longer the Burning Man.
Yeah.
It just changed.
Yeah.
And he had a trailer. And he had water.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't really know how he would do it because isn't there, like, just, like, a barter system there? Like,
yes.
They don't. It's, like, everything that comes with the earth, like, you know, when you leave, like, it goes back.
Not always. That sounds cool.
Yeah. Right.
But no, cash still works now.
Okay.
Cash will work out there.
I would take Diddy's cash.
Yeah. It works out there.
Yeah.
And you get showers now. Back then, everybody was funky.
Yeah.
I said, I was going to have hoes for hoes. We can hose you off. Girls been dancing.
Yeah.
I said, hoes for hoes.
Yeah.
And I was going to make a killing.
Oh. Wait, why didn't you?
Because or why
it got
don't
commercial.
You?
It became commercial.
Just go next year.
That's not fun now. You got to go when it's really stupid, when they really when people just burning a man up. That's dude, if you could have seen Burning Man then. Dude, I said, these are the craziest. It was crazy people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, now we live in an age of like apps and
yeah,
I would just
Ubers,
like,
the Burning Man website.
Yeah,
how to
I would
get there, directions.
It.
Dude, yeah. You had to know. So you can window directions to Burning Man.
Right, you don't have to parallel park your car anymore. It doesn't buy yourself.
Just roll in.
Have you taken an Uber?
Yes.
Okay.
Not you know what? Not to this. This was my first. I think it's actually in the last 3-4 months was my first Uber. I was somewhere. I said, wait a minute. Let me just get an Uber. But I knew not to get the serial killer Uber.
Yeah.
So I get the Uber Black or Uber Sedan.
Yeah.
But not like serial killer.
Oh, if you're with the basic Uber, they're definitely going to kill
serial
you.
Killer.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I did have one Uber dude show up. His car was bashed in.
Yeah.
I said, I think I'm going to let you go, man. Because you can't drive. Dude, you can't come here with this car.
They have a new thing now that they just started called Uber
Pool.
Uber Pool.
Which What's is that? The Uber Carpool. And so, like, for $5. You can and most of the time, like, people seem not to be showing up, so it's just like a $5 ride anywhere, but
like flat rate,
yeah.
But they want to sort of team you with someone else, and so
it's called a cab.
Yeah, it's called a cab.
Well, no, because cabs don't make you like.
Well, sometimes you share a ride. Remember,
we're from New York.
I'm older than you guys. Back in the day, you'd be like, "Can I jump in with you?" Remember back in the
80s, that's hitchhiking.
Dude, can I share a ride with you? And they jump in the cab with you. You would let people ride with you. Like, I'm going that way because they couldn't get another cab in New York.
Isn't that called like a like kiss and ride or something?
No,
no.
It was just like, dude said, "Can I? You mind if I ride with you?" I said, "Come on, man.
Right.
I'm going your way. That's how you did it."
But you could be jumping in with a serial killer. So you
made it fun.
Yeah, you were adventurous. We have a friend who, this girl, Jazz Fly, she did an Uber pool, and she ended up in a car with Doris Roberts, the grandmother from
Everyone Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful, because if you're entertaining, they jump in and go like, damn, he couldn't afford more than $5.
No.
So now the word gets out, somebody's Uber pooling, and he's going through some hard times.
No, but how cool, see... You know how,
that makes it interesting when you meet people.
That's what I'm saying.
I was very impressed to find out that you... basically helped discover 702.
Yeah, found him in the mall at Caesars in Vegas.
Really?
These little girls were dressed alike. I said, y'all have got to be a group. Boom, boom, boom. They lined up. Bam, started singing. I said, oh, man. You know what the sad part is?
I said,
y'all got talent. But the sad part is, I know what the business does. You almost like, I went to the parents' house. I said, these kids can make it. The sad part is they can make it. And I can't guarantee where we'll take them.
Sure.
Because actually, one of the cousins quit early.
Really?
One of the original girls I met in the mall, it was too much.
Mm-hmm. Really?
They were truly. I hooked them up with
Michael Bivins.
At the Jack the Rapper convention. I flew them out, paid for the hotel room.
Are you still in touch with them?
You know, I talked to a couple of men. The lead singer, she died. She passed away of cancer, man.
Right.
So every once in a while, I get a chance to talk to a couple of them.
Do you still talk to Michael Bivins?
You know, I don't see Michael that much. I see him. Yeah. No, I see him on the road. I see him. You know, New Edition is phenomenal.
They're still
these
on
cats,
the road.
These cats
have
done this for so long. When you watch them, there's no glitches. Like watching Temptations, there's no glitches in what they do.
Yeah.
And even when Bobby Brown would show up, as crazy as this,
he
would just jump right in. I said, Jesus, man. No matter what you think about it, whoever worked with them and made that happen is amazing.
Yeah.
And also I did Tony, 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 Ravi Sadiq. I was in the first Tony, Tony, Tony video. They sent me a cassette tape. That's how long ago I said, I'm going to do this video with this guy. Everybody said, you're going to kill your career. I was one of the first guys to do a music video.
Man.
And I took him with me on the road to Houston, Texas.
To open for you?
Yep. And also at the Warner Theater in D.C.
Really?
Yeah. Music was my first love.
Yeah.
I was in bands. Music was always it. I didn't know I was going to be a comic.
Right.
I thought I'd be the funny drummer.
Yeah.
So working with music.
Funky drummer to the funny drummer.
Funky drummer and funny drummer, man. Most drummers are crazy anyway.
Yeah.
And bass players. But when I did my funk festival, when I was able to get guys jobs who hadn't worked in 5 or 6 years. These were my heroes.
Yeah.
And now I was hiring them. That was we say a milestone.
Mm-hmm.
That to me still means more to me than a lot of things I've done. When an average white band told me, they said, look, man, we hadn't performed in 3 years. And boom, after that thing, they off, man. I just loved it.
That's great.
20-year really cycles.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So in high school, you were playing drums.
Yes.
And you were in marching band?
Yep.
And
played basketball. So I was that. We were that enigma. We were athletes and band members.
But
remember, the band at my high school was Funky Band.
Was bad? Yeah.
Funky Band.
Yeah. So you were in the marching band, were you playing snare? Were you playing bass
snare,
drum?
And they put me on bass because I was taller.
Okay.
I said, man, don't put me on this. This ain't cool. I said, I want one that spins. I saw the white kids had a bass. I said, I want a bass drum that spins.
Oh, you had like a Latrell Sprewell?
I said, I want a bass drum that you can turn it and hit and spin it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So then you went to the Air Force. Is that right?
I went to college first, University of Denver.
Okay, yeah.
Played ball there. Then I went to the Air Force.
And you still had eligibility by the time you got to the Air Force? Or you had graduated college and then you went to the Air Force?
No, I didn't graduate. I left.
You left.
I'm out.
Okay.
My senior year, I walked away.
Really?
I don't think I was going to graduate anyway.
All right, well.
It didn't matter.
Do you still ball now?
Oh, no. Man. I got two replaced knees.
So
back.
No dancing?
I'll still dance.
Okay. Not competitively.
I'll dance with my group.
Yep.
And it just comes out, though. You can't help it. You know, that kind of thing.
If you went on tour with let's say
New Edition,
and they come out and they do like you know their group dance together.
Let me put it this way, man.
Could
if
you
they
keep
train
up?
Me, if I and I'm thinking about going to Debbie Allen's dance camp. Said Debbie, let's work on those moves of the 90. And I put in give me 2 or 3 months to work hard. We'll modify.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I said, I can make this.
Like, do like a light butterfly.
Yeah, we do like that. So that's some of the old Running Man, some kicks.
Yep.
Slim Gibson, that Morris Day stuff. I said,
oh, man.
Let's make it funky.
All right, so I was watching A Different World and the Heavy D episode.
Yes.
First of all, your dancing is insane in that.
We were having fun, brother.
Yeah. Do you have any Heavy D stories?
Heavy D actually did my first comedy special called Sinbad All the Way Live Almost. And Heavy D was... the way Heavy D could move made no sense.
Yeah.
Heavy's videos.
Big guy.
Some heavy dancing, man. Heavy D.
Yeah. Definitely
Heavy
dance.
Heavy D became, we became real good friends, man.
Yeah.
He tried hitting on my sister, Dorothea. I allowed it because I dug Heavy D.
Did she dig Heavy
D? She liked Heavy D too.
Okay. Yeah.
But Heavy was great. He was able to transcend, remember, to acting too.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? But I think his name was Dwight, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Yep. So, man, when he passed away, that bothered me.
Yeah.
Because that brother, remember now, he had a good heart.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, if you look at his early rap, when it was, everybody was in the middle of talking hard stuff.
Yep.
He was talking about having fun.
Yeah, totally.
That's what I think rap was about. Cats talked about what they were, mm-hmm. not faking. It became theater.
Right.
Cats who were gangster.
Yeah.
Guys who weren't.
Yep.
I went to Heavy D's funeral for Rolling Stone.
Yeah. Okay.
And Puffy's eulogy, first of all, was amazing. Mm. He talked about how he knew that he visited Heavy D like when he realized that he made it because his apartment had wall to wall carpeting.
Oh wow!
Which included carpeting on the walls.
No,
yeah,
that's one of them crazy dreams you're talking about coming up.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put carpet on the wall.
Yeah,
which is good for soundproofing too.
No, it really is.
And the other thing was that he stole an apple turnover from Puffy's house, and Puffy never forgave him.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what his eulogy was. It was amazing. It like brought down the house. Like the entire event was amazing. It
I'm
was
sure.
Just like, yeah.
Nobody saw that coming, man.
No.
Just
no.
Going home, going up the steps.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Just you know, just cats like that shouldn't die.
There's a few questions which we sort of ask everyone. When the whole Nas and Jay-Z feud was going on in the early 2000s?
That meant nothing to me.
Nothing to you?
Nothing to me.
Didn't choose sides?
The best. Remember, that was another generation under me.
Of course.
What I liked about it was when Nas said that Jay-Z was a terrible dope dealer.
Yeah.
And he used to run into his apartment.
Yeah.
And Jay-Z couldn't say no. And I was like, wow. Because everybody gets this rep. Because I dealing drugs, and Nas said, look, man, remember he said?
Yeah.
He said he was a terrible dope dealer.
Yeah.
And used to run into my place mm-hmm. to hide. And I was waiting for the comeback, and I didn't hear it.
Mm.
Were you an LL Cool J guy?
Yeah. He looked like an athlete. He looked like a football, basketball player.
Yeah.
He was the first rapper that kind of looked like that, 6'3 and everything. I said, that kid's going to blow up.
Yeah.
And he did.
And his confidence level was so high. It was high.
Yeah.
Remember, he had the guy named E-Love? He had a sidekick who did nothing. E-Love would just stay on stage. He did nothing. Everybody, remember, comics and rappers always had a sidekick.
Yeah.
This one did.
Yeah.
He wasn't a hype man or nothing.
Right.
E-Love was just standing there.
Yeah.
He was the teller to his pen.
Yes, he was.
He was the Chuck to his Sinbad.
That's right, man.
Wait, so you rock with LL back then. Do you rock with LL now?
Matt, you know what? I haven't sat down and talked to LL.
Or even listen to his music now.
Oh, yeah, man.
Like, but do you... Okay, because for us, like, we certainly appreciate, like, his early music and, like, and then his reinvention in, like, the mid-90s, yeah. right?
But when, I would say anything post 96 or 97, I don't mess with.
But yeah. Nobody might not mess with it. I think anything post a man becoming a family man. Mm-hmm. Think about rapping.
Right.
Think about rapping. This is
it's not
truth,
about...
It's the truth about rapping.
Yeah.
Once you become a married man... Once you have kids you love, because you can't talk about women the way you used to talk.
Right.
You can't throw it. You can't be that hardcore, like Jay-Z.
Sure.
Couldn't do 99 Problems and the Bitch Ain't One.
Right.
If he had his daughter, because are you talking about her?
Right.
Right. Right.
It changes your perspective.
It changes, not just perspective, the woman you're with. I said, so I'm like this. I give you a pass on everything you did after that. Because you did enough before that.
Right.
I'm cool. I know you. As a matter of fact, I respect you.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from. You're not trying to fake. You're not trying to be somebody because you're a family man now.
Right. So now he's rapping and still trying to, like, talk to girls.
Yeah.
But he's a married man. He's
got kids.
So that's
what I'm saying. So now we know it's theater because just like, you know, funk and R&B and stuff. Mm-hmm. When you are single and you're talking about the chicks with Rick James, she was 17, super freak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're married saying super freak, you're like this, man, is your wife cool with that? He's like, it gives off a double signal.
Of course.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you're still cool, but we know like, well, that can't all be true.
No, because right. like, yeah. you're playing a character.
Yes.
So by the way, so we have two friends who used to work in finance, and when they went to their job interview, they were asked... probably like one of the crazier questions that we've heard.
Yeah. How many ping pong balls can you fit in a 747? As part of their interview, that's what they were asked, right?
No,
how many ping pong balls?
Everybody's going to see if you would panic.
What's that?
They want to see what they would
panic. I think they want to see how like your brain works,
too. I've been like this. Well, why do you want to put ping pong balls in there? I mean, how many games are you going to play? You might only need five. Who's playing? That's how you answer it. You don't try to figure out cubic feet. Okay, what's the size of a
right,
ball?
Yeah.
I would say, well, who's playing? Are you guys going to be playing? Can we get some there? Can we get ping pong balls at the place when we land?
They should have had this on Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, are we landing? And we're going, are we selling these ping pong balls? Is there cocaine in the ping pong balls?
It's are going we selling dope Colombia.
At this company? Yeah. Are we selling dope at this company? Is a code word for something else.
Right. If Jay-Z was selling those ping pong balls, how fast would he run to Nas's house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To hide.
When was your last job interview?
Jesus, man. Like a job?
A job.
That you had to do like an interview for.
Man. Back in the day, before you just did it all online. And dude, now they don't have job. I wouldn't have to do a job interview because you have to do everything online now. I was standing outside the door. Dude, I'm here. I can't do that online.
Right.
I'm right here, man. You won't get me. Last job interview. High school?
Yeah.
College?
So what was your high school job?
No, it was college. Last job I get, drive an ice cream truck.
Really?
I dropped out of college before I got joined the military.
Yeah.
I drove an ice cream truck. No, cable TV.
Repairman?
In Wichita, Kansas, installing.
Cable
TV, I wore a suit. There were 200 people lined up. And I was the only dude in the suit.
Really?
And the guy said, it's the only suit I had, Wichita, Kansas. And the guy goes like, I can't believe you're wearing a suit. I said, well, it's a job interview. I don't care what it is. I think you should look good.
Yeah.
So I get this job. I'm there. First day, man, we're installing cable and stuff.
Yeah.
First thing to do, the guys run around the corner with the trucks. They were selling cocaine out the trucks. And they go like, man, this is what we do. I said, I don't do cocaine.
Right.
So now they're freaking because if you don't want to do cocaine, now they're all paranoid.
Right.
So they're like freaking out. So I can use this if I ever need this later.
Yeah.
So what I started doing, I'm installing cable. They said, man, we won't move you up to make you a technician. I know that was cold. We're like, you disconnect black people in the black community.
Oh.
So I showed up. They said, go up there and turn that off. I said, oh, hell no. I am not going up that pole. And turn. You think because I'm black, they're going to be cool with it? I said, watch this. I went up the pole. I started messing with the traps. Back in the day, you had to unscrew from the pole. The dude came out with a Jerry Curl cap and his underwear. What you doing, man? I said, hold up. I'm trying to give you everything.
Yeah.
I unscrewed everything, so you got every channel.
Oh, my God.
I said, this game changes today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was with me and said, watch this. I started, you could take these traps. If you put them in the freezer, you could break them. So they were coated orange for Showtime, blue for HBO. But if you froze them, you could break them. And nobody knew that every signal was coming through. So I would go to people's houses, look here, man, I'm here to disconnect. Look, you don't have to hide. I'm here to disconnect. For $50, you can have cable for life.
Yo.
I became like the ice cream man.
Yo.
They said, here comes the cable man. I would get them extra cable. I said, well, they, man, I got two TVs, but I only got one cable. I said, how would that work? I said, God, man, if you had about 25 feet of cable on the switcher.
Yeah.
He said, how would that happen? I think if somebody left $25 in my car seat, that switcher would probably be available for you.
You're like a superhero.
So they brought me in. The company brought me in. You've been giving away cable. We know what you're doing, because the guy snitched when I was riding with me, because I wouldn't share with him. I said, you didn't help me do nothing, just drive.
Yo, you run with a lot of people who snitch. That guy, snitch. Like the librarian, everyone's
yeah,
talking.
Man. Yeah, he snitched. So I did like this. I said, I know who told you. I said, how about this, man? He said, you know, that's against the law. I said, how about this? Why if I call the DEA about the cocaine in the truck and you call the FCC? And let's see who trumps who.
So who I trumps need you, who? Who Donald said, trumps who?
This is what I need you to do. I'm going to move to California, so you're going to leave me alone. I want a new truck. I want a new gear. I only work at nights. I want to work at night. I want to work my hours. I'm independent contract.
Woo!
And the guy looked at me, what the hell are you? So I'm the guy who wore a suit. Dude, I made so much
That's
money.
That's amazing.
And then the day I quit, I'm at this woman's house in the rich neighborhood in Wichita, and she had white carpet. She said, it's snowing. It's 10 below degrees, 10 below zero. And she said, I need you to take your boots off. I said, every time I come in? She said, oh, yeah. I took my belt off. I said, why don't you put this damn cable in yourself? And I had my snowsuit on. And I made my move. And I was walking away. I said, damn, I should have took the truck. But if I go back, that's less climatic.
Yeah.
I said, I should have taken the truck. I'm freezing out here.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. That's unbelievable.
Last job.
When you were like touring the country like crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Your schedule was crazy booked. Did you go to Wichita, Kansas to perform?
Yeah.
How was that? Returning, like...
I still go back. When I first came back, because I came back to the Cotillion Ballroom, where I got a chance to open up early in my career. I opened up for Spiral Gyra for $50. When I first became a little comedian there. Then I came back, and I did my own show. I still go back.
Really?
I still go back.
Man. I mean, do all those memories come flying back?
Yeah.
Just...
The woman who started me actually was Mary Jane Till. It was called Comedia. It was a summer comedy program. And that's how I found out I could write. Because you have to, I watched it the summer before. I said, oh, I'd love to do that. But I didn't know how to be a thespian. And the guy said, you can do it. So I came in to audition for her. And Mary Jane Till was tough. These skits suck.
Yeah.
She was very brutal. He goes, guy, somebody has something he's written. I go, no, I don't. And I opened, she goes, give me your notebook. Okay, this can be fixed. This is great. This can be fixed. And after I took the hit, the guy said, she took all your skits. She left all your skits. I said, no, she doesn't need to be fixed. Dude, everything has to be fixed. She took off. That whole summer was my skits.
Really?
Yes.
Man.
And I was on alert, which means you couldn't leave the base.
Yeah.
So I would sneak off the base with a radio.
The Air Force Base.
And go do the shows.
Really?
Yes.
You did SNL.
Yes. 1994, one of the highest rated Saturday Night Lives in the history since the 70s. And they did not buy me back for the 40th.
Really?
Man.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
They've never invited me back to even host it because I pushed them a little bit. They want me to do dumb black sketches. I said no.
So how was it? So
what did they throw at you? And then what did
dumb stuff like Reverend Hightower, Willie Hightower? I said, how about this? Why don't you act like I'm not black and give me some good stuff? And Chris Rock was and Ellen Cleese were the only two black
performers.
Was Tim Meadows there too?
Was Tim there? Tim was there.
Okay.
And I said, let's do this. I said, I know you guys are going to hate me right now. I said, but let's push them so you don't have to just wait till it's a black host to do good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, we did Blackula, because, Dracula?
Yeah.
We did Blackula.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We did the gay, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but we did the Civil Right, and during the Civil War.
Yep, yeah.
We did the...
what was your closing sketch?
Overacting, was it Overacting Black Family?
No, it was, that was during the thing. There was, I'm trying to think what it was. It was a family of...
Oh, I don't remember.
Maybe it was overacting.
Yeah, it was the overacting.
Okay.
And then I had black actors got mad. He said, you talk about me. I said, dude, if you thought that was you, you had checks. We were the loud, overacting black family.
Yeah.
And so we were like, our boy's coming home. Woo! And the TV was loud. And Tim Meadows was out. Yeah, Tim Meadows, son. How you doing, mom? Boy, don't you talk like that coming in this house. He said, you guys are loud. Oh, Lord! It was so much fun. And I did a Black Lightning.
How does that phone call go? Like, does Lorne call you? Does someone reach out to
somebody
your representatives?
Somebody reach out to your people. Somebody reach out to your people and say, we want somebody at the host. I'm like, man.
So you come to New York. First.
It's crazy how it works. You get there, and Rob Schneider was there, and you meet them the first day, and then they start pitching ideas. And Lorne says, you don't have to do them all turned down. You feel bad turning people down.
Sure.
Because
you have all
pitch.
The writers in
they
his room.
They all try to pitch to you separately. And
do you bring any writers with you? Because some performers do. It was just you.
Just me.
So you showed up to NBC. Yeah. You go up there, and you're just by yourself, yeah. and you're meeting everyone for the first time.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's – so 1994?
Yep.
So Chris –
Phil Hartman, man.
Yeah. Who? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you worked with him later, I think,
yep.
too.
Yes. Yeah.
On House Guest.
On House Guest, yeah. Yeah. So Phil Hartman, Chris Rock, Ellen yeah. Cleghorn, Tim Meadows. Was Sandler there?
Sandler was there, and yep. so was
Chris Farley.
Chris Farley. He played yeah. the Hulk at Superman's funeral.
Yeah, man, that's a David Spade was
yep.
he there?
David Spade,
yeah.
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider, what a cast,
dude! It was great.
Yeah, what an experience. So
how
so,
was the after party?
You know, that's crazy because you go to this after party after the show, man, and it's everybody's there. And Tracy Morgan was there. I think Tracy was just getting started. They weren't
yeah.
using him.
Yeah,
and I remember he was saying, "Man, I can't get into it." I said, "Man," I said, "You know what? It's going to happen." Me and him were sitting there at this after party, man. It was cool.
That's crazy. So after you do that, do you reach out to them, like, in the hopes of doing it again? Or
yeah, I had my people call many times. I said, yeah. I'd love to host it. I guess I wasn't hot enough for them.
Hmm.
I tried to get on
Mad TV.
I actually tried to get on, come on, man, Jay Leno before... I did like 17, 18 Jay Leno, 20 Jay Lenos.
Yeah.
I couldn't get on. They said I couldn't get on.
Oh, it was last
year? Goodbye. I wanted to say goodbye to Letterman.
Yeah.
I guess I wasn't hip enough.
How many times did you do Letterman?
I did Letterman 3 times.
Yeah. How was that?
Dude, remember, I couldn't get on Letterman. I couldn't get on Letterman. Nobody would give me the get. So finally, when I got on Letterman, they were so scared of what. I'm supposed to be hard to work with and this difficult guy because I just. Dude, if I was Robin Williams, you'd have just called it creative.
Right.
Because it was me.
Eccentric.
He's hard to work with.
Yeah. Right.
So when I got to Letterman, I'll never forget the guy who comes in. He goes, well, Letterman likes to know your jokes before you come out. And what you going to do? I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. We need to know. I said, I don't know. He goes, well, you might not do the show. So I got up, put my coat on. I had my mother, father, everybody. I said, what? I don't miss what I never had.
Wow.
As I'm walking out, he told my brother, who's my manager, is he really leaving? He goes, yeah, he's leaving. So my brother gave him some fake things. And I got mad at my brother. I said, when I say I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. He goes, man, just don't lose this opportunity. And I was so mad at him. So when I sat down, me and Letterman just had the best time. It was crazy, man.
So first time you did panel on the couch.
Yep.
Did you perform?
Never did stand-up. I always did panel.
Really?
Yeah.
But how was Dave, like, up close and personal?
Cool.
Yeah.
Then he had me come back because he had fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we heard he's like a real goofy
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, he had me come back. And then I got bumped. Twice, I didn't realize the first spot was to be the best spot.
Yeah.
But I kept going, we got somebody we never get, but we'll give you a second half if you get longer time. As a comment like this, I'd rather have longer time.
Sure.
All these other publicists, don't ever let that happen. You got bumped. I said, man, I'm going to get more time. You think I'm worried about, I'm glad I was naive. I didn't know what that was supposed to mean because I didn't care.
Yeah. Mm. Man, that's wild. That's a amazing opportunity. 3 times with Letterman. Yeah. You did the Tonight Show a million times.
Yep.
Wait, real quick, back to SNL.
Yeah.
What did you think of Kenan's impersonation of you?
Kenan, I was a big fan. I saw Kenan all that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I said, I love this kid, and I wanted to do the show because of him. He was like this. He was a kid.
Yeah.
I said, let's do some sketches together. He goes, oh my God. I said, you're funny, man.
He's great.
I would love to go on. I wanted to go on SNL. Actually, I just wanted to work with him.
Yeah.
I wanted to do something with Kenan.
Yeah.
He's doing another year of SNL. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they waste him. He's funny.
He's so funny.
They waste him.
He's so funny. And
he's the glue right now.
Yeah. They're.
I haven't watched new ones. Is he more the glue now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
For sure. He's so good.
Cool, man. I got to start watching.
Yeah, for real.
I was protesting.
Have you been approached by Jimmy Fallon's team to be on the new Tonight Show?
These are all the new cats, I said. Not Jimmy Fallon, not...
Jimmy Kimmel.
Not Jimmy Kimmel. I said Kimmel.
Conan?
Man. I said Kimmel. I mean, I've done Conan.
Okay.
I've done Conan like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, old Conan.
Yeah, on NBC?
Yes, I said, Jimmy, I want to do the summer outdoor music thing.
Yeah. Oh, my
and,
God.
And do some comedy up front and then go right into the music.
Are you friends with The Roots? Do you know
The
Roots?
I know Quest, I said.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have to go that route, but I'm saying maybe I should start off, because my character's name is Memphis Rev. I play funk, do rag and hat. Maybe I should just be that character, stand on the side with the band, you know?
Yeah.
Because Jimmy, I think, would get it then, because Jimmy likes to play around with music.
Yeah,
I think when they find out I play music, man, it could be fun.
So, yeah, we wanted to ask you, like, you hosted Showtime at the Apollo.
Yeah, man.
Can you tell us about some of the guys who you would run with back then?
I loved it. Because you couldn't get to the Apollo back then. Remember now, it's a new New York.
Yeah.
I remember cab wouldn't take you up there?
Yep.
So like a Mercury Marquis or a Gypsy cab had to come get you.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't
there
go
were
to
no
Apollo.
Ubers back then.
That's, and the kid told me, Simon, let's buy 20 brownstones for a dollar. Remember, you could buy it and pay property tax. I said, this New York kid think he's going to slick me out of my money and they're going to sling crack out of it. Is it my name?
Yeah.
He bought 25 of them. He hung onto them. He said, Simba, it's going to take 20 years for this to make money. I came back. There's this guy with slightly gray hair. I said, do you remember me? His mother funded the money. He almost lost him, but he kept paying the property tax. Dude, he's a multimillionaire.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 20-year cycles.
He hung on.
That's amazing.
How could you see his age is going to take 20 years? He said, there's nowhere else to go.
Oh, my God.
But the hood.
Yeah.
He's
so,
got it.
So we had like stories like, hey, Eric B. and Rakim, they came to show. I love these brothers, man. But his brothers with him, and you know, they had weapons. Everybody had weapons.
Sure.
Everybody carried weapons. Nobody liked to be without the weapons.
Yeah.
Shotguns in the coat. So backstage to Paula, man, you can't come with the weapons. Man, there was an altercation at the back. I said, hey, look, man, hold up, man. How about this? How about we all put the weapons in this one room just in case there's a riot, y'all kill everybody, and we can have weapons to shoot people.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, bad. I said, no, we need our weapons. We'll all put our weapons in this room, and you'll keep a guy with the weapons in that room. So just in case we need to kill the usher or somebody trying to get up here. He said, man, you crazy, man. I said, and everybody can be on the stage. So everybody can stay backstage. And the guys at Paula said, no, everybody's cool.
Yeah.
Everybody going to stay backstage. We all good? And they said, yeah. And they, I'll never forget, Rakim gave me one of those. Remember the jean jackets that were spray painted back in the day?
Yeah.
He gave me that, man.
Oh, that's tough.
And he said, man, don't worry, nobody ever gonna mess with you in Harlem.
He
gave me the pass.
That's amazing.
Wow. So that and Mitch Blood Green, who got beat up by Mike Tyson,
yep,
comes to the back door with his eye closed and his face goes, Michael clocked that dude, man. But Mitch is a big dude.
Yeah.
So we all like this. Mitch came to the back door. Man can't come in. You know, we all just been talking about him, kind of dogging. Yeah, Mitch, come on in, man. You see what Mike did? He snuck up on me. Oh, yeah, man, it's terrible, man. You probably could have got him, Mitch. Man, Mitch got squared up. Mike said, you don't want to fight me in the streets. And bam, man.
Right.
Boom, boom. Closed his eye.
Oh, my God. Give us something good about DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince, I'm doing Jack the Rapper in the 90s.
Yeah.
And this kid couldn't get in his will. Kid couldn't get in. I said, man, come in with me. So we're hanging out, and Jack was like, man, he didn't pay. I said, man, he's hanging with me. We're hanging. We're going everywhere. This kid, he's funny.
Yeah.
He's rebel. He's funny, and I love him, man. And I was doing the award show that night, and I went on stage. I said, stand up, man. He stood up. I said, this kid is going to turn the business around and not just music. He said, dude, how'd you know? I said, dude, there was something, but he had a light. I said, this kid here is special. Y'all remember him. And it blew up. Life, man.
That's incredible.
Like doing the Arsenio Hall opened the door where Johnny Carson and Jay Everett had to put on black rappers and black comics. Remember, we couldn't get on those shows.
Right.
Couldn't get on. Jim McCauley was the talent scout for Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And he would come, I'm just putting this out there, he would come in drunk to the comedy clubs. He had these two young girls with him. And Kevin Nealon said, man, look, man, just don't make him mad and blah, blah, blah. I said, man, I don't care. Yeah. So I go on stage, I'm doing my thing. I know I'm killing. So he said nothing to me. He's leaving. And Kevin said, no, I don't say nothing to him. I said, dude, how'd you like my set? I wasn't impressed. I said, well, I was impressed with your daughters that you brought.
Woo.
And the room at the improv got quiet. These are not my daughters. I said, oops. And then he goes like this. He goes, you'll never do Johnny Carson. And I'll never forget what I said. I said, yes, I will, because you're an alcoholic, and you'll probably have renal failure. Mm. And the new guy will put me on.
Wow.
And Kevin, neither of them again. Man, dude, that was brave. I mean, you're never going to work on that show. Dude, that was brave. And then here comes Arsenio Hall.
Oh, my God.
And that door opened.
Yeah.
And the world changed.
Man. When did you move out to L.A.?
85.
So you were here for a lot of early West Coast rap.
Oh.
So
it was the beginning of it. It was Ice-T. You know, before NWA.
Yeah.
It was NWA first. Now the movie's coming out.
Yeah, right, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The movie. 20-year cycles.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
But I remember when Dre and Cube were at Taft High School in the Valley when it was white.
Really?
They were busting cats in from when Taft High School was white.
Yeah.
They were busting. There was a guy named Michael Stokes, who did music for Smokey Robinson, that was showing him a lot of the music and stuff.
So when NWA came out, were you rocking with them?
I was in my car. I'm listening to this tape. I said, oh, hell, this can't catch on. Mm. Dude, it was so far out. I said, if this gangster thing, because the West Coast was the first one to really glamorize the gangster.
Yeah.
And I said, this can't catch on, because people won't know fact from fiction.
Right.
They won't know where these kids are just talking about the streets or what they actually did, what they didn't do. And that changed rap.
Yeah.
Forever, man.
100%.
Changed the whole game up. And that's when little white kids wanted to be gangsters. White kids didn't want to be black. They wanted to be gangsters. Because remember, white kids didn't jump at Public Enemy. Because they're about the man. None of my heroes never been on the stamp.
Right.
They were very political, man. See, Public Enemy was my... Dude, to me, they're the definitive group for me. Because they never changed from what they were.
Yep.
I said... It's funny how them white record execs make it blacker. It was going to rappers. Make it more black and gangster because it wasn't for us. White kids in the valley wanted to be black hoods.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Whatever that meant.
Right. So
that changed America.
Yeah.
Was white kids becoming gangsters. They thought these rappers were dangerous and they realized, oh, my kid wants to beat them.
Right. How'd you feel when Ice Cube linked up with Public Enemy with their producers to make America's Most Wanted?
Dude, that was, you know what? They were talking about that album. You sit back and we was talking about 99 Miles Running. And it was about how they viewed us.
Yeah.
How, look, in Baltimore shows you, ain't much changed.
Right.
But it was how American viewed black teenagers.
Yep.
Remember, I wasn't a black teenager at that time, but I already been through that.
Yeah, of course.
I already been through that. Yes, I know I said, but it's like that one, it changed. Even like the American Most Wanted was also very political.
Yeah.
It was a very it was a very political album.
Very.
Although I didn't think then I don't think they realized how political it was.
As really?
They, you know, I think when they're young, you're speaking from your heart, you're speaking from anger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was very because it was Public Enemy's producer, because that's how those brothers roll.
Yeah.
At all times, talking the truth.
Yeah.
At all time, I'm not taking my foot off your neck.
Can you talk about when the G-Funk era came out, and you have The Chronic, and you have Snoop Dogg, and they're all and they're all taken from George Clinton.
Let me tell you something. They took some of the best music. Look, I'm going to tell you. When that came out, remember the G's thing I said?
Yeah.
Ice Cube and Snoop Dogg took some of the best samples known to man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I said, whoever this kid is. And then I found one of the kids that was working with Cube came to my house. I said, man, I got some albums. I got some BC and D sides you ain't heard. He said, what? I said, dude. They were taking some of the best, dude, the best parts of funk.
Yeah.
I respected that.
Yeah.
DJ Quick.
Oh, yeah.
Quick
yeah.
used to take some of the funkiest stuff.
Yeah.
Whether you even agree with the lyrics, your head was bobbing like, man, I don't know if I agree with this.
Yeah.
But this groove is funky.
So funky.
Yeah. You had, then you had like, Digital Underground, you had, come on, man.
Digital Underground?
You had, this band was doing this, and you know, Tupac was just a dude, was the hype dancer.
In Digital Underground, and all of a sudden, yeah.
You never thought he would be that guy.
Right, oh. So, did you ever have any interaction with Snoop, with Suge Knight?
You know what, Suge Knight actually came to my funk festival.
Really?
The first year. He said, hey, man, we in the house.
Wow.
Yeah. Does Suge Knight have a good sense of humor?
He did with me. I'm like this, I don't agitate, but I don't also fear. I respect you to the point you respect me.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I have no reason to have man, Suge's here. I'm like, look, man, I don't have no money.
Right, right.
I didn't take anything from him.
Right.
I'm not Vanilla Ice.
Right, I know. Did you ever have any interactions with Tupac?
Yes.
Really?
Tupac used to talk to my sister.
Really?
Yo, you're Tupac. Heavy D and
that's
Tupac.
That's my sister, yeah. Donna.
That was okay. All right.
But Tupac was one of the most philosophical. I said, do your problem is you live on two planes. You're this guy. You're a thespian. You're an artist. You went to performing arts school with Jada Pinkett.
Yep.
You know, and then you got this other cat. And I said, if you can live long enough, I said, if you can get to your 30s, your 40s, I said, you're going to be a deep cat. I said, you got that thing you're going through, that young thing?
Yeah.
I said, people realize he had read every book that was in the house. He was well-read. I said, you don't talk about that. I said, you don't talk about that, Tupac. He goes, man. I said, dude, that cat, this cat sitting on this stoop with me, it's much deeper than these cats know.
Where were you when he was shot?
I just left Vegas.
Were you down there for the fight?
No, I didn't go to the fight. I was there
You're
doing
performing?
Something. I was performing, and I left. And somebody told me what happened. I said, oh, man, Jesus Christ.
Did you know Biggie at all?
Yeah.
Really?
Biggie was just coming out. I was doing a show somewhere in Virginia, and they told me about this dude. I said, who is this cat, man? But once again, because Puffy taking great... Like, Puffy was so good at taking the right music.
Yeah.
But Biggie just had that. Dude, him and Tupac were probably some of the most distinctive voices. Him, Tupac, Biggie, Chuck D.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. As soon as Chuck hits a mic, you know it's Chuck D.
Yeah.
Rahim, Eric B. and Mark, when he hit the mic,
yep.
You know, and Big Daddy Kane.
Big mm-hmm. Daddy Kane.
Voice, you know who that is right away.
Yeah.
As soon as they hit. You know who that rapper is.
Yeah.
Bam.
Do you still listen to rap today?
Yeah, I don't know many new rappers.
Okay,
I still listen to Backspin.
You do? Okay,
I still
yeah.
listen
yep.
to old school stuff. I don't know many yep. new rappers.
How well do you know Ed Lover or
okay, no, I knew them when they were doing
Dr. Dre.
Doing, when they first came to MTV.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So I've been knowing those cats for a while.
That's pretty
and
wild.
Think about it. For Ed, Ed still looks the same.
Yeah, he does.
He's still be doing this thing, dude. And he's got that. He was fun. Like, you know him and they were doing those movies and MCL. I mean, look, these guys were doing some funny stuff back yeah. in the day, man.
Yeah. What'd you think when Chris Rock put out CB4?
That was funny.
Yeah,
and kind of true.
Yeah. Oh, and
I mean, for sure.
It was called The Making of a Fake Rapper.
Yeah, we did. Complex Magazine, Complex.com, asked us to look at that movie.
And see, like, what lives on, you know, 25 years after.
Yeah. Yep.
And, there's a lot of stuff where you're going through and you're just
very
like,
accurate stuff.
Yeah.
But the best one, the one before that is... In Niggas with Hats, the one that Rusty Cundiff have done. Have you seen that one?
Mm-mm.
Dude, mm-mm. That was before CB4.
Really?
Because he's a director and a comic. Yeah. Rusty Cundiff.
Okay.
Dude, their whole thing was, we wear hats. It was done like, what's the fake documentary?
Yeah, Spinal Tap.
It's done like Spinal Tap.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to check that
they
out.
They keep shooting their managers.
Oh,
dude, you have to see it.
Yeah,
there's a song called Booty Juice. But and then the women's rights group, they said, no, man, we didn't mean it in a negative way. But in the video, he's putting a tap on a girl's butt and juice is going in the cut. And he goes like this, we meant the juice is love from the earth. The mothers, dude, it's Larry B. Scott. You have to.
We will check it out.
It's a cult film. I think everyone should watch it.
Yeah. Did you ever run into Naughty by Nature?
Yes. I did things with Tretchen. I love Tretchen.
Yeah.
I love them. I used their song on that show in the Paramount.
Oh, you did?
That's how I came to stage.
You did.
And I caught them right before. It aired live. You know, that was a live stand-up.
Yeah.
And I got them a phone right before they gave me the rights to do it.
Really?
Right before the show started.
That's crazy.
And that's in the days before cell phones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, you couldn't.
No, I had Elite. I think I had Elite phone.
What is Elite phone?
Elite, the micro Motorola Elite.
I'm
flip phone. It's a Motorola with a little antenna.
Yeah.
But remember,
it's like
all the phones were like 0.5 power.
Yeah.
They were 3.0. You'd have to turn it down in the concert. The phone was so loud, and you put it on your pouch. It was in a little pouch.
How big was it?
It was about that thick and about that big. It was the
first
small
one.
It's the first small one.
Yeah.
How about, what was your first car phone? Do you remember that?
A Mitsubishi 1500, because I could take out the car and I could carry it on my shoulder.
Oh my God.
And I had 4 lead acid batteries with it.
And what were you driving? What were you pushing?
It was in my Jag.
A Jaguar?
It was in the Jag.
Man.
So you would take it with you? You wouldn't leave it in the car?
Oh no. I had to. You could leave the solid part in the car. I could just take the microphone part and I put it on my shoulder and I'd say, man, can I use your cell phone? Oh, it's like $100 a minute. Man, sleep fast! And the battery only lasted 30 minutes. I still have it.
Crazy. And
I found it. I still have it.
Bellamy stories.
Yeah, Bill Bellamy.
No, Bill Bellamy was came a different way because it came through the MTV route.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And no brother had ever been broken.
Yeah.
That way.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I just knew him as an MTV cat. But now we work out at the same gym and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he became.
Wait, did he work out with Steve Doocy too?
No, Steve Doocy was his own man. His own man.
How well did you know Queen Latifah?
Queen Latifah's one of the early. I think all of them I knew back then.
Yeah.
I know this. I can't wait for Bessie.
Oh yeah. On HBO.
She's turned the whole thing upside down.
Yeah, how about that?
She's turned it upside down.
Yeah. So when she was in Chicago, you must have just been like, where did this come from?
Man,
like,
you and ITY, the album. She was a late
amazing.
Grade. She had the hat. Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
Do you think she still has the hats?
She probably has to keep them because she's the queen.
Yeah, but you
and
know,
MC Light. But MC Light was, I think, my favorite.
MC Light.
MC Light.
MC Light.
She's so funny.
She's
so great.
And she's fine.
Yeah.
She has not aged. She's
No,
she's not
is
aged.
Like,
yeah.
Yo, 94 was a good year.
94 was a great year.
Yeah.
Lots going on. And then it flipped. Black shows went away. It's funny, they would put black shows on the Fox network. Remember, because Fox didn't go all night long.
Yeah. Right.
Fox didn't have all night programming.
Right.
And the WB, they would use us, the Wayans brothers. They get the numbers up and then all the shows canceled. Living Single, gone.
Living Color.
In Living Color.
Gone.
Yeah. Any good Martin Lawrence stories?
Martin opened for me in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I see him do the fly routine.
Yep.
I said, this dude is bad. I mean, bad funny. But I told his manager, I said, I don't care what a cat does. I said, but I got kids in the audience. If he could just not cuss.
Yeah.
And he told me, man, I was so mad. She said, I'm going to cuss every word. But he didn't. And he killed. He slayed.
Now,
slayed this audience.
Let me ask you honestly. If someone kills in front of you, is that not good for you following that?
This is what happens. First, you go like, ooh. But Bill, I learned from Bill Cosby. He's just going to make me better. It's like Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope you bring your A game.
Because then
I don't want you injured. I don't want you to turn your ankle. When I beat you, I want to be like, somebody beat that dude down in the ground. That's sports. But I did what comedy was. I'm going to take the energy. That's why I'm going to let him take intermission. I said, you want intermission? I said, no, I want that energy right here. And I want to jump right in the middle of that energy.
Was there any thought of you being in the Kings of Comedy?
Yeah, the original Kings of Comedy, they wanted me on it.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
I didn't believe there was such thing as Kings of Comedy. And I said, I was like this, guys. I'd already done those rooms. Mm. I had already done those rooms by myself.
Yeah, right.
And I just like this. I always was kind of by myself. I said, Cosby traveled by himself. Rich Pryor traveled by himself.
Mm.
I never did it that way with three or four comics.
Mm.
But what they did was genius.
Yeah.
Because the world finally got... I saw Bernie Mac. My brother had a comedy club in Chicago.
Okay.
And this guy, Bernie Mac, came out and said, ooh, whoa, what's that?
Yeah.
Somebody, I'm going to tell you, man. I'm just Bernie Mac was true to Bernie Mac. I said, Bernie, I love you, man.
Yeah.
I love Bernie Mac. Man, they ain't going to give me some of that. I don't care how they give me. It was Bernie Mac, man.
Oh, my God.
That Kings of Comedy, man, they saved him for last, and they were smart.
Yeah.
Because you didn't want to follow that.
No.
Yeah.
And they would rotate, right?
No, they quit rotating.
Oh, okay.
Bernie was a beast, man.
Who do you think was the most successful person to open for you? Like, in terms of, like, just slaughtering the crowd before? That you were like, oh, man.
Back in the day, it was Mark Curry.
Really?
Really?
I knew who he was. He knew I was. I just started kind of, and my name was just getting out there.
Yeah.
We're in Berkeley, in California. It was Mark Curry, a guy named Richard Trash. Richard Trash about maybe 4'11", 5'1". Mark Curry told me later, man, we hated you, man. Light-skinned brother. Women liked you. I said, what? I didn't even know that. Man, everybody hated you. Man, he this is his area. He's from the Bay.
Yeah.
He ripped this room. I said, whoa! I said, man, I maybe should have. Man, who the hell is this? And I said, nah, man. I ain't going out like that.
Yeah.
And I walked in, boom, and Mark Curry said, man, we thought we had killed you. He said, we actually were sitting in the wings. Yeah, he's done. And then I did the Paramount Theater, man.
Yeah.
And I said, I want Mark Curry to open for me.
Yeah, you guys ended up like friends.
Oh,
like
we're friends. Yeah, we became friends. And the thing that hurt Mark Curry, when he did Hanging with Mr. Cooper,
yep.
Everybody thought he was Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Mark Curry was dirty and poignant, and they thought he was this Mr. Cooper guy. I said, they don't even know who the real... Mark Curry was one of the funniest guys I ever met in my life.
Man.
But he was following that, like, Bob Saget sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Where they were just, like, giving TV shows...
Yeah, so you know, no TV show. Louis C.K., that's the first kind of show you could actually be that angry guy. He's always been angry.
Yeah.
But, like, Seinfeld was Seinfeld. Seinfeld
was
change.
Seinfeld, yes.
Yeah. Right.
That's but remember, black comics almost
a different
always
standard.
Had to change.
Yeah, it's a different standard. Yeah.
And then you needed the son that would never grow, the black son who would stay a midget. Because we can't have a big black kid.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, the kid on Blackish is growing. Like, the young light-skinned one.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That boy is almost tall as Anthony Anderson,
yeah.
I mean, well, Malcolm Jamal Warner did grow up.
Yeah.
But that was a very special case.
That's because Cosby allowed that. That's Cosby.
Right.
Cosby said, we're going to have some realness here.
Mm. And Vogue was on
your
show?
Cindy used to date my younger brother.
I feel like your whole family just like
tearing through
the entertainment industry.
Man.
Yeah.
In Vogue from Bay, and by my dancers, one of the guys was dating one of the girls from In Vogue.
Did you ever date any celebrities?
No, I'm a Muslim.
Okay.
You know what? There were some people I hung out with.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
It's a good answer.
Yeah. I'll write that book when I die.
All right. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Man, we really appreciate this.
Yeah, this was so much fun.
Yeah, I'm Eric.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Sinbad.
Yeah.